Thanks for hitting play again on this episode. If you're loving what we're doing here on the Professional Photographer Podcast, you're just scratching the surface of what PPA has to offer. As a PPA member, you'll get access to benefits that support and protect your business, like equipment insurance, sales and marketing tools, discounts on industry essentials, and even a 24/7 affordable telemedicine program. What? Need help with contracts and copyright protection? We got you. And customizable resources and tools are waiting for you. And that's not all. Members also enjoy Professional Photographer Magazine, delivered monthly, packed with stunning visuals, inspiring stories, and practical tips to keep you growing. Explore all the perks of membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I mean, it's only three letters. You can remember that, right? PPA.com. We want you to join our community. We are here to help you grow and thrive. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. Welcome into the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller, and we are live. Imaging USA 2025 in Dallas. And I've been working on infusing the word y'all into everything that I'm saying, and I'm not doing it very well. Sorry, people of Texas, I'm insulting you. This is the Industry Trends series. We're talking about what's happening in the industry, and we're bringing on the experts to give us their perspective. Today, we're talking AI with Alexi Reyes. This guy is working with Adobe on the front lines of bringing AI to all of the simpletons like me. He is doing amazing stuff in his dreamlike work, and he's gonna talk us through how he's using it, how you should use it, and he's going to address the elephant in the room: content, authenticity, and what's happening with the push to bring essentially a nutrition label to all of our work so we know who made it, how it was made, and that it's the real thing. Our set today, sponsored by Sony, they went all out. Big thanks to Sony for making this whole thing look great. Their Sony CinemaLine cameras are being used, and the Monitor and Control app is making everything simple. It's an iPad, we push the buttons, and it works flawlessly. All right, it's time to talk AI. I mean, we can't do industry trends without talking about AI, right? Alexi Reyes, great to see you. Welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. It's been a very fun day full of learning, different perspectives from everyone here. It's been a great day.
And you've been teaching too.
Yes, I did a session early in the morning and I did a demo on some of the stuff we're going to get into today. But yeah, it's been really cool. My first photography convention.
Very cool. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's big and it's busy. Are you getting questions in your demos that are surprising you or stuff that you've kind of come to expect as you share on AI and show people what you know?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of questions on, I think people don't know much about the AI world, especially in photography. So a lot of curiosity is sparking in photographers and they want to just know more about it. And I've been using it a lot the past 2 years. So I'm hoping I'm an expert of some sorts in it, but I'm also learning as I go. So I'm just sharing what I've accumulated.
Yeah, well, it's changing every day. So you get to learn daily and then bring all of us along for the ride. Now, you're affiliated with Adobe. You're helping them lead the way with AI. So catch us up on what you do with Adobe and what that relationship looks like.
Yeah, so I make short form content online based out of my photography. So I share tutorials, I vlog my photo shoots and stuff like that. So I started working with Adobe because of that. They reached out and I'll make educational content for them. And as of the past year or so, I've been working with them on the content credentials side of Adobe, the new Adobe products.
Right.
And they reached out to me about the convention. I was like, yes, that sounds exciting. It's also, I live in Houston, which is not too far. So sure. I was like, of course, I'll make the drive over here.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve time in our conversation because I want to know about the content authenticity stuff. And that's so important when you talk about building trust and really embracing what AI can do for us. But let's start with the concept of using it for good, not evil, like being real in the age of AI. Obviously, you get asked that all the time, but if someone's just getting into embracing AI, how do you explain being real in today's AI environment?
So I think when I personally started, AI seemed really scary. It was like this new thing. I don't know, when I saw the word AI, I thought of like robots. And I was like, wait, like, I'm scared. Like, what do you mean AI?
Yeah.
And so I honestly didn't look much into it when I began. But after a while, I realized how much it was integrated into my workflow already. And so I caught up on it and learned about what I was using. So when someone is new to it, I think it's great to come into using AI with an open mind and see how you can use it as a tool to benefit your workflow instead of, because I know that the stereotype of it, like replacing photographers or replacing artists, is common. And I understand why, again, back to the robots. So it's like, yeah, it's I tell people every time, you know, be open-minded and see how your workflow works and maybe how you can use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. And you've lived some of the dark side of AI. You shared a story with me that you had your work stolen before.
Yes.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah, so when I started posting on social media at a young age, I think I was like 14, like I just had got Instagram. And when I started sharing my work online, I would often get my work stolen. I remember waking up one day, I think I was in high school, and someone had like posted my work and like claimed it as their own. And I was just like, as a 14 year old, I was like just distraught. I was like, The world is ending. What do you mean my work is stolen? And so it happened often growing up, and I never really paid much attention. Like, yes, it affected me then and there, but I didn't know what to do. I kind of had like a hopeless type of energy to it. And so that's my experience, I guess, with having my work stolen. But with recent products from the Adobe team and the CAI, there's things that are helpful now for creators. So there's a lot of progress that has been made since I was 15.
So you're young, you get your work stolen consistently. Is there a small piece of you that's like, yeah, I'm good. I know I'm good. It must be good. People keep on stealing it. Did it make you feel just a little bit cool?
Just a little bit. Yeah, I mean, and also back in the early Instagram days, the community was very supportive of each other. So if someone stole it, they would like report the account or like, tag people in the comments, the original owner of the image. So that always felt reassuring to have like each other's backs.
Yeah.
So that was a good time to be on social media.
Let's sit down on your side of the computer, how you are using AI. So we're all kind of learning it. You're an AI native, practically. You started using it. You've been using it. You're teaching others on it. So we're looking at your computer. Walk us through some of the ways that you're using AI as you're going about your work.
So I edit in Photoshop and Lightroom. I start with Lightroom, and then I use it to color grade and apply my coloring style to my images, which are typically very bright and colorful. And I love using, it's rare that you see a black and white image in my work. And after I'm done, I go into Photoshop. Now, Photoshop has all these really great AI tools, such as Generative Fill and Generative Expand. And I think that's one of my favorites because it helps me create the worlds I have in my head and kind of expand them literally into bigger than what I'm envisioning. So that's a great tool that I use. But before actually editing, I focus a lot on the mood board aspect of creating because a lot of my work is conceptual, and the concepts that I do are honestly kind of strange. Like when I work with a team of stylists or models, it's hard to it's been hard in the past to translate my vision because it's like in my head, I'm like using like taxidermy bugs or something. They're like, what? What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? But nowadays, Photoshop has this new feature called Generative Workspace, which allows you to generate images based off your own personal style. And that helps me create mood boards. So that would honestly be my first step, is creating these mood boards using AI to translate my vision and make sure the photo shoot runs smoother because everyone's on the same page. They can see what I'm envisioning in my head. And then jumping into things like Generative Fill. There's other great tools in Lightroom like Denoise, which I really like because I always make this reference, but there's like a, if you've ever eaten a cool ranch Dorito,
yes,
they have like the little dust and it's all colorful.
Yeah,
that's what my photos used to look like back in the day. And it was so hard to fix them because noise is like shot in camera.
Yeah.
But with the AI feature Denoise in Lightroom, you're able to really clean your images, save them from that Dorito dust, and it's really helpful. So I've been finding a lot of tools like that in the softwares that just are amazing. Those are just a few of the ones I've used recently that have helped me a lot and saved so much time.
I don't think we're going to have a debate, but Cool Ranch is superior. Like, there's really no debate here.
Yeah,
Cool Ranch is,
it is.
That's a fact. The mood board that you mentioned, like, we can talk about AI, it helps you build this mood board, but as a personal takeaway, that just must make your life better as an artist because it just lowers your frustration. Team, this is what I'm seeing. Is it that communication that doesn't necessarily go in the image, but it helps you express yourself so then they can be creative about what you're seeing, I would imagine?
Oh, yeah. And also, I think before using this product, I would have to go through like Pinterest and other social platforms to find photos similar to what I was thinking, but it was never the exact thing I was thinking because ideas, you can be inspired, but I always like to add my own twist to things. So having this just gets really specific, and I love that about it. And like you said, it's just translating it to other people is really important, and I'm able to focus on the concepts. I do a lot of work around my culture and just personal stories, which often I can't really find inspiration from online. So if I'm able to type in a prompt to generate an image, it's extremely, extremely helpful.
All right, just for fun, can you think of one really dreamlike, funky image you had to put on a mood board that someone would think, oh, it made that? That's really cool. Can you think of one that's like really creative that you had to put on a mood board?
Yes. So I did a soccer-inspired editorial shoot a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And I had this idea of these soccer balls being thrown at my subject or like flying across my subject. And so I could have just made a photo of a man and then added the balls, but AI just makes it more realistic. Like, I wanted the motion in there. And so I inserted one of my images for style reference.
Sure.
And then typed in like soccer balls being thrown at a man in a field. And it gave me a lot of different options that made the model understand it more. And just also, I composited several images into one. So we weren't actually throwing it at him and he felt a little safer. Like, okay, I can do this. Like, I'll stand in.
That's really fun. As I've done interviews like this, I've learned we're all using AI whether we're choosing to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Generative AI is the thing that people think is additive. Like, this is part of the process I could add. But in your workflow, is it even additive or is it just almost every day all the time you're making it a part of what you do?
Yeah, I think it's becoming an everyday thing. I use it probably a couple times a day. There's certain features in Photoshop like the patch tool and the healing brush that are now kind of replaced by this generative fill tool because it essentially does the same thing. If I want to remove something or a distracting object from an image, I can just select it with generative fill and it'll fill it in instead of having to go in manually with my patch tool and try to clone things. Like, it's just so time consuming, and my workflow has definitely gone from like 6 hours to maybe 2 or 3 because of of this tool. So it's become definitely part of my routine, and I love it. It's really helpful.
Can you picture a world 5 years from now, 10 years from now, about how it's just going to be a part of everyday life, where we'll look back at this interview and you'll be like, oh, remember we talked about the thing and now we're doing the thing? Like, what are you picturing about where this is going for the industry and for artists as far as making this dreamlike state come true?
I think artists will be more comfortable with these tools when they see other people like themselves use it. So for me, I'm very transparent online about using AI tools because they do help. And it's not something I feel like you should gatekeep or try to like hide, because it's helpful and I think others can find it helpful. So I definitely think in a few years, people will look at each other's work, be transparent about it, and start using the tools themselves. And having it be part of every photographer's workflow, I think will be helpful and not damaging. I think there's a difference between using AI as a tool and then using like AI to generate images and like pretend it's real. Yeah. Like there's that like blur of trust, or that trust that needs to be built within the community.
Sure. When we talk about where it's going, you get a front row seat at Adobe Max and other behind the scenes and industry conventions and such. What are you seeing? What did you see at Adobe Max? Like, tell us some of the stuff that's coming.
Yeah, Adobe Max was amazing. It was my first time going this past October, and I met a lot of creatives that are on the same page as me when it comes to using AI and using these new features. And there was a lot of really cool products that they released at the sneaks panel they had, I think on day two, where they talked about all the new updates with AI. One of the examples was, I remember, Project Concept. It's a mood board product that they're releasing. If I can remember correctly, it allows you to, it's almost similar to the workspace, generative workspace I mentioned earlier, but in a more mood board focused way, where you're not just generating the images like one at a time. You can just kind of use AI to create like this endless mood board, this endless canvas, and just like add everything you need to it, which is really helpful because you're not limited to a certain size. And they have really cool products for AI and video, where you can extend videos and use AI to maybe finish a clip, which I find interesting. I'm not super into video now, but I definitely want to get into it later. So hopefully that'll be out when I'm ready to jump into video, because I can use the tools that they're coming and or that they're working on, hopefully coming out in the next couple of years. But those were a few that stuck with me, especially the mood boarding. I love mood boarding, if you couldn't tell.
I could see that being almost like a personal portfolio. You see something that inspires you, you add it to this third place of inspiration that you have. So you don't know when you'll grab something off of that board, but it's almost a place to save the things that make you feel something.
Yeah, because I think there's a difference between writing something down. My notes app is probably like all jumbled up. Like I have ideas in there somewhere. But when you can generate it visually and have it stored somewhere, that's really, it'll make you want to create it sooner because you're seeing it and the world you're like envisioning is like in front of you. Like you can bring it to life. I think one thing about being a conceptual artist is there's no limitations in what you can create, especially with all the apps like Photoshop and Lightroom. You can bring any vision to life. Yeah. And that to me is super exciting. The dreamlike worlds I like to create are all possible. Even if it seems hard, I'm like, you know, there's a tool for this and I know that it can be done. It may take a while for me to learn how to create it or add this object in there, but it's definitely possible. And I think that's super exciting.
Yeah. Let's switch to building trust with AI. Adobe's leaning into content authenticity. If someone doesn't know what Adobe is doing, give us the overview and then we'll get down into the details.
Yes. So Adobe founded this coalition, the Content Authenticity Initiative. And this, the CAI, it's called the CAI. The CAI is focused on pushing transparency forward and creating a movement to get other creatives and other companies on board to to use this product that they released called Content Credentials.
Okay.
Now, Content Credentials are a form of metadata Content Credentials have metadata embedded into them. Essentially, the best way I like to describe it is if you're going to a supermarket and you're buying a product like milk, it has a nutrition label.
Yeah.
So Content Credentials are nutrition labels for your photos. So when you click on a Content Credential in your photo, you can view who created it. So you have your name on there. You have what you use to edit. So mine would say Lightroom and Photoshop. And then you can add links to your social media or website. And even it even shows, like, you can opt out or in, but you can show the edits you've made. Like if you used a cropping tool or color graded something, which I think is really cool because, again, it provides this transparency that between artists can be really helpful.
Sure.
And I've been using Content Credentials for the past year or so, just adding it to my work. You can do that in Photoshop and Lightroom. I have like videos on how to do that on my account, but it's really simple to do. And it's kind of part of my workflow. I've built a habit of just like adding a Content Credential before I export my photo to make sure it has that security behind it, because it's an amazing product. And back to when my work was stolen before, there was nothing I could do, especially as a young artist. I didn't really know about copywriting or anything like that. But now I do feel this sense of security. Like if I have my Content Credential on my work before sharing it, it's traceable. So if it's screenshotted somewhere and posted online or someone claims it as their own, I'm able to trace it back to the origins, which is mine, and have that proof behind it, since it's embedded in the file and it's not like a watermark that you can edit off or generative fill off. It's kind of like, I like to look at it as like a modern day watermark.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's like invisible. It's on your image or in your image, not on your image.
Yeah. This is going to help us with trust because we'll know who made the image. It'll also help us with trust because we'll know if it's an organic image or an image that's been completely generated by AI, whether or not there was a real shot in there. Like, is this factual or not? But I would also imagine, when this is deployed everywhere, you'll see one of your heroes' pieces of art. You'll be able to see what they did to that image. Educationally, won't that be a great opportunity for people to learn?
Yeah, it's definitely something I look forward to when having people maybe you look up to use it. It'll share their edits, or maybe you can opt in and out of showing them. But I think the more we dive into the world of AI, the more normalized it would be to like share your workflow.
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned, you can, if something is AI generated or human made, it tells you that, which is really important when it comes to reading news or journalism.
Sure.
If something's AI generated, like there's a photo of the Pope that went viral last year wearing a puffer jacket and everyone thought it was real because it's so hyper-realistic, but comes to find out it was AI generated. So like something like Content Credentials would just help you click and, oh, it's not real. And that just, it will help with confusion and like trust in the future. So I'm hoping it rolls out in everywhere.
Yeah.
It would be really helpful.
I know that camera manufacturers are worried about this. PPA is worried about this. Copyright is worried about this. Adobe is worried about this. Have they settled on this is the method, or is it still Coke and Pepsi and Dr. Pepper? Where are we on an industry standard?
Yeah, well, I think Adobe is pushing out as much as they can with C2PA.
Yeah.
It's another program similar to CAI, just to push trust and transparency. And Content Credential, personally, I think should be the standard because it's so to the point and simple. But brands like YouTube and TikTok and Meta have jumped on to the coalition.
Yeah.
And they're also fighting for transparency and trust with AI-generated content. So when you go on YouTube, you'll see like a tag in the description that says, oh, this video has AI in it. Or if you go on Meta or Instagram or using Facebook, some content will have a disclosure as well. So I think we're slowly getting into that territory of several platforms using Content Credentials. And I know Like you mentioned, with camera manufacturers, Nikon is also working on installing it when you capture something. So when you shoot a photo, I know Leica has done this with one of their models. You can shoot a photo and it'll automatically have content credentials inside of it at the moment of capture, which is really cool because it saves time when adding it during your editing workflow or using the ACA webpage, which we can get into a little bit. But yeah, more working with more manufacturers to get that installed in cameras is something they're working on, and is exciting. I'm hoping Canon or Nikon or Fujifilm puts it in their software soon, so I'm able to just have that security with every shot that I take.
Yeah.
And it's always customizable, so even if I don't want my social media on there in every photo, I can still have my name, so I can customize what I want on my content credential.
Here's how I know people are getting serious about it. Old nerds like me use LinkedIn, and LinkedIn had a tag that this had Gen AI on it.
Yes.
So people are getting serious about it.
Yes.
All right, I want to talk about where we start with AI if we're not where you are, but you touched on the ACA website. Can you tell us more about that, how it works, and what we would expect if we logged in?
Yes. So you can currently apply content credentials in Lightroom and Photoshop, but if you're not using these apps, or you want to apply content, or you want to apply content credentials to multiple photos at a time, Adobe released the Adobe Content Authenticity app, which is a web page you can log into, or actually you don't have to log in, it's free. You jump on it, you drag your files in up to 50 files,
wow,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
And you can instantly apply content credentials by just pressing like what you want on there. Like I said, I usually do my Instagram, LinkedIn, and website.
Sure.
And then they have a really cool option where you can opt out of asking, you basically ask other AI models to not train with your work. Mm-hmm. So I love that feature. That way, if I decide to use something else, I know Adobe Firefly never trains with your work,
right,
but if your work is being sent out to other platforms, that's a great option to apply. And then you could just apply them and download them onto your device to share anywhere online.
Yeah.
So the app is really cool, and it saves a lot of time when I'm maybe, if I want to share a gallery with the clients, maybe we shot 40 photos that I want to send over, I'll first put them in ACA and then send it over to them. So it just has all my information. And again, that security blanket is there when I share my work.
Yeah. So it could be part of our workflow just as a best practice before it leaves our computer to go out in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great way to secure them and just have everything in it, like embedded. So yeah, I mean, I always name my files, but sometimes you need an extra like push, an extra little thing to add to them, of course.
Yeah, well, I heard you, someone young and cool like you is on LinkedIn too, so I feel a little bit better. I was feeling really old there for
a
minute.
I love LinkedIn.
All right, let's wrap up the interview by helping people along. If they're not using it as much as they should, they know that they need to take the time to start infusing AI into their workflow. Where do you recommend that they begin in the Adobe universe? What are some of the generative AI first steps we should start taking to take advantage of the technology?
So if you're using Lightroom and Photoshop, you're probably already using AI and you don't know it.
Right.
So I think looking into some tutorials, I make tutorials on my social media platforms, TikTok and Instagram, at Alexei or Alexei Reyes, where I dive into these features one by one. I have videos on generative fill. I have videos on the denoise. Looking up, content on social media, TikTok and YouTube is really helpful. I think it's great to learn from people that are already using it to kind of see how they incorporate into their workflow and see if it matches yours. Because there's so many different types of photography and art. I might not have the same workflow as a wedding photographer, but I know there's tools for them that could work great and that I may not be using. So looking up on social media is definitely the way to go. And then after that, just playing around with the softwares. I found that going through all of my tabs on Photoshop, I'll see like a new thing that I hadn't noticed before.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be like a new AI feature.
Oh, look
so, I'm like, oh, like the sky replacement tool.
Okay.
It's in your edits, in your edit tab, there's a new sky replacement tool at the bottom, and it's wonderful to use. One of my favorites as well. But yeah, it's trial and error, playing with the softwares you already use, and I think you'll end up really liking them if you're not already using them.
Yeah. Let's do this to finish off the interview. I want you to think of the times that you're teaching, the videos that you're creating, the feedback you get from the folks in the audience, the comment section. This is your chance. What is something you just wish everyone knew about infusing AI in their work? Some of the common questions you get. Is there something you just wish you could just say, everyone, this is the thing you need to know?
I think just the not to be so scared about it. Going back to what I said in the beginning, having an open mind towards AI is good. And I think if you're worried about it replacing your workflow or replacing you as an artist, I really do think that we're so essential. Like, people are so essential to art, to the art world, and clients will always trust real people over AI-generated work. So if you're scared, don't be. You know, I think we're all in this together, and we're only 2 years into the world of AI. There's so much for it to grow, and we have a lot to discover. So as long as we're, again, building our trust with each other, because it we can't just leave it up to the apps and the software we use. We have to take it into our own hands as creatives and build that trust. So yeah, starting off slow, checking in on what others are doing in your community is definitely something you should look into, and it'll help you break down that stigma behind AI. And yeah, it won't replace us, I promise. I hope not. But like, I have high hopes for it being a great tool for us.
And they need to follow you on Instagram and TikTok.
Oh yes, please, please, please. I share a lot of my work on there, tutorials, and also I'm always working on new projects about my culture and about the current state of the world. So if you like interesting conceptual work, I share all of that online. So yes, go follow me if you're into that.
Yeah. Well, we can't talk industry trends without talking about AI. Alexi Reyes, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. This has been the deep dive on industry trends. It's been a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed it. Now, we're going to gauge whether or not you enjoyed it, because if you didn't enjoy it, don't click like and subscribe. But you did enjoy it, right? So you're going to click like and subscribe, right? And you're going to leave us a comment and tell us what you liked about our guest today. That helps us and the team kind of know if we're doing the right stuff or if we need to go get a job at Dunkin' Donuts or something like that. So please leave us a comment, like, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, if you're not a member of PPA, we need to have a real conversation, because if you're trying to build a photography business, PPA is for you. We're talking top-notch equipment insurance. We're also talking about education. This show and so much more is made possible by PPA. So if you like getting better at photography, PPA is there for you as well, not to mention the sense of community with photographers that are all trying to get better and build their business. At PPA, you belong here. Register now and sign up for the group, ppa.com. That's ppa.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm Pat Miller. We'll see you right here next time. Take care.